you'd like to open your Bibles this morning, we will begin in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. This was actually a message I was going to preach before, and I just got sidetracked with it when we were talking about committed to missions, witnessing to our family and friends. So I thought, I'll finish it out, amen? And this is a message that was not going to be preached. It's going to get preached now. So the title of this message is kind of interesting. What are gospel tracts? I've never preached a message on gospel tracts before, but gospel tracts preach messages all the time. And why should I use them? So it's a two-part situation. What are gospel tracts, and why should I use them? In John chapter 1, notice what it says in verse number 35. Kind of an interesting verse that I'm using here with gospel tracts, but I want you to notice something here. Jesus has just been baptized. John, the Baptist, has just baptized him. The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and landed upon him. The Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That's all taken place. And now it's the next day. And John is standing with some of his disciples, which it's kind of interesting when you think about it. Some of John's disciples became Christ's disciples. Peter, Andrew, and James, those were the disciples of John. And we see here in verse 35, and again, the next day after John stood, and look what it says, two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. I mean, he didn't say, "Go follow him." He just says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the other two disciples just walked away from John and pursued Jesus. Verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" Those are the first things they heard him say to them. "What are you seeking?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." It's interesting, he only speaks in three-word sentences to these guys. All right? "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. It's getting about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Their day ends at 6. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first, circle that word first, and he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is being interpreted, "a stone." I want us to zero in where I asked you to circle a word in verse 41. That when Andrew left the abode of Jesus, the first thing that he did was first priority, he went to find his own brother, a sibling. And the purpose was to tell him what he had found himself personally. And that wasn't just where it stopped. He took his brother, he led his brother, that we all know so well, Peter, the great apostle, to Jesus. It took an Andrew to give us a Peter. They must have been pretty close brothers. I'm close with my older brother. I love him dearly. And Andrew must have loved Peter dearly enough that he wanted him to know the Messiah. He wanted him to know the Savior. He wanted him to meet Jesus. And I have used over and over and over in our series on committed to missions, two primary illustrations being two people that you would not even think of being great soul winners. And it was the woman at the well, and it was a maniac of Gadara, a demon-possessed man and a divorced woman who'd been divorced 5 times and was literally living with a man. Something happened in their hearts to make them feel the need and the urgency. They didn't wait. They didn't delay. The woman left her business and went. The maniac went straight. Andrew went directly to his brother Simon Peter to bring him to Jesus. They didn't use gospel tracts. Gospel tracts weren't even created by then. But they had a burden for their family to know Jesus. This is interesting. I want to read to you, if I may. It's a little lengthy, and I'm not going to tell you who wrote it until at the end. It's something that we would all be familiar with. Gospel tracts. Gospel tracts are concise, printed materials that convey the message of the Christian gospel, typically detailing the themes of salvation, faith, and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Designed for easy distribution, these tracts often include scripture verses, personal testimonies, and a clear call to action inviting readers to consider a relationship with God through Jesus Christ by faith. Their accessibility and portability make them practical tools for evangelism. Using gospel tracts offers numerous advantages. First, they serve as a non-confrontational means of initiating spiritual conversations. In an era where dialogue about faith can be sensitive, tracts provide a respectful way to share beliefs without imposing them upon others. Furthermore, they can effectively reach diverse audiences as their succinct nature allows for engagement with both intrigued seekers and those simply unfamiliar with Christianity. Additionally, gospel tracts can foster a deeper reflection. Recipients may ponder their contents long after the initial encounter, potentially leading to further exploration of faith. By incorporating gospel tracts into one's evangelistic efforts, individuals not only fulfill the Great Commission, but also spread hope and encourage spiritual growth in their communities. Thus, using gospel tracts is a transformative and beneficial approach in sharing the Christian message with family and friends. Does that sound fairly descriptive? Would most of us agree that that was a fairly good explanation of gospel tracts? And we know that what gospel tracts are. We're not ignorant of them. There's a variety. Here's one on, it's God's bridge to eternal life that you can use. It's got the visuals in it. Here's the exact same one in Spanish. We've got a baseball diamond across the street, and we have chick tracts that talked about the slugger that would be great for young men. We've got one here, the first gospel tract I ever saw and read, Somebody Loves Me. And for a long-haired, hippie-tipped guy, this one actually broke my heart. Althea had it at her house. One of the most well-known gospel tracts by Chick is This Was Your Life. They have sold millions of these ones. Very good gospel tract. We have them for holidays, for Christmas, Thanksgiving, you name it. Here's a great one that I love to use, Heaven, Do You Know For Sure? Everybody really would like to know for sure they're going there. Here's one that's called The Cross Is Not the End. This is a good one. All of these are out in our racks there. We have this one that is still up here for people to trifold and hand out. remember the three simple steps is we cannot get to heaven by being good. Christ paid our way to heaven on the cross, and heaven is a free gift accepted by faith. And then here's one that's really kind of cool. It's the Romans Road. All the verses of Scripture are on based upon Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, 5:10, 10:9, all of those verses on salvation. And if you were to hand this to somebody, if you were knocking on the door and the person came to the door and they were a loved, and we got a good makeup of people here. We got white, we have Hispanic, we have blacks. That's what heaven's going to be made of, amen? Every tribe, tongue, and people. And we were handing these out one day, knocking on doors when I was at Fair Park, and a Hispanic person comes at the door, and we said, we would like to talk with you about Jesus Christ. And they said, no Espanol. No, wait. No. I got it backwards. I'm no Espanol, you know? And they said, no speak English, something like that, whatever it is, all right? I would say, no speaky, all right? And they said, oh, that's okay. And we show them that on this one here, you have the Romans Road in English on this side and in Spanish on this side. So you got them coming either way, all right? And so I'm just saying you got all of these, and this is just a small group. There are thousands and thousands of tracts out there. This is not just saying that these are the only ones. I'm just saying there is a variety of tools to put into your toolbox to have and on you at all times. And we'll be talking about some of that here in a minute. And so this kind of gives a great descriptive thing on exactly that they are tools that can be used with the purpose of reaching people with Christ. Now, I got this, and I asked a question, and I got this answer here from, listen, artificial intelligence, AI. AI we all are familiar with, right? AI simply represents artificial intelligence. When we're talking about intelligence, we're talking about brilliance, high mental capacity. And it's interesting, another word in the dictionary for intelligence is a word my dad always used on me and my brother. He'd ask us a question, he'd say, savvy? How many of you remember that word, savvy? That's what it means, to be intelligent. You catching this, man? Are you using your intellect? But here, it's not just intelligence, it's artificial. It's not even real. It's simulated. It's actually defined as simulated unnatural. And if something is artificial, can make a statement like that to you who are not imitation, we're not artificial, and it's on us to get the gospel out, I think we should be listening to what AI is telling us that God already told us to do. It's confirming what God wants us to do. And it's artificial intelligence. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not here to advertise for AI. I think AI can be used in a good thing just like anything can, right? I believe that AI, when it gets to the highest level, is going to be used during the end times. That's just me. I think it's going to be used greatly. And but anyway, so that's where we're at. And I want us to zero in on the priority that Andrew had for his own family member. And so we're going to look at a couple of things here as we talk about what are gospel tracts. We kind of explained it here. But why should I or why should you use them? So why do we use tracts? That's our first question. I believe to answer this question, I need a drink of water. Now, I believe, number one, that God promises to bless his word. Very important that I'm putting it that way. I didn't say bless gospel tracts, but gospel tracts, every one of these up here, has the word of God in them. It's printed there. So why use gospel tracts? Because God promises to bless his word. In Romans chapter 1, we read one of the verses was in verse 16. Romans 1:16 says, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was free from shame. Shame is something that we don't want to bring up or be associated with, because we are afraid that people will look upon us differently. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. Paul says, for me to go out and share the gospel, and of course they didn't have tracts, but I bet you if they did, Paul would have used them just to leave. But he says, I'm not humiliated by associating with Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed that I'm going to heaven and I want you to go to heaven. I'm not ashamed to share that. Folks, understand there are people who name the name of Christ who are ashamed or won't say they're ashamed, but their actions will speak louder than their words, that don't share the gospel. And God promises that if you would just use tracts, that's the best way to get started. You don't have to say anything other than, hey, did you get one of these? By the way, that's always a good way to, when you're going through a fast food thing or something, I know you guys eat fast food. When you're going through, this ought to be, okay, some of you don't. The purists are here. When you're going through, or do you guys ever go through a place where you stop at a, huh? Saltgrass? Let's move on. Oh, yeah. We were out to eat the other night, and I had some of these on me, which they're right down here, folks. Saltgrass takes these things, too. You take it. You already did your three-fold thing on it, you know. I just took mine, and I folded it again like this, only because I was at the restaurant. And then I folded it up like this. Oops, I folded that one too much. This is just a little illustration. Just be a little creative is all you got to do. And then I ended up doing it like that. So when we left, it was on the table like this. So what is the person comes up and they're looking at it and they say, how to go to heaven? They're coming to clean dirty dishes off the table and have an opportunity to go to heaven too. Amen? Folks, it's just simple things. I didn't say a word. I didn't have time. The guy was busier than all get up. He was a good waiter, but he was busy. So we just left this there. And usually, make sure you leave a good tip, by the way, okay? And it's just asking the question, how to go to heaven. So God is going to bless that. If that person picks that thing up, and by the way, it's interesting. I use a lot of gospel tracts in my life. Use a lot of them in work when I was in Bible college. And I worked at the anthropology department where they believe in evolution. And you can find out where people are by leaving gospel tracts on their desk when you're cleaning their office. And I'd leave a gospel tract there. And you could tell when some of the professors were gone on an archaeology dig because it would stay on their desk for weeks. And you could tell when they got back also. You would find the gospel tract in a variety of places. It would be picked up and moved to a different place. So, they read it or at least glanced at it and they haven't gotten rid of it. Sometimes it was either there or it would be, the trash can would be full. And right on the very top of the trash was the gospel tract laying there. I said, well, it was the last thing at the end of the day. They just tossed it down there. And then some of them, I'd go in there and it would be like, oh, the gospel tract's gone. They must have taken it. And I'd go over there and empty out their trash can and a little tiny wadded up gospel tract would be the last thing that would roll out. Doink. And I thought the first thing they did that morning, they got in their office, looked at that thing, wadded up as tight as they could. Bing! It landed on the bottom, so when it came out, it came out. You could tell where people were at spiritually. They told me to quit doing that stuff. Anyway, God has promised that, by the way, his word, he says, does not return back void. So if the guy that grabbed this, or the guy that threw the track in all wadded up, that you say, that was a waste. No, it wasn't. God was trying to reach that man, and that track, I believe, this is me, if he doesn't get saved, and he stands before God, he says, I never knew, nobody ever told me, I think God's going to hold out his hand with a wadded-up gospel tract. You remember this? Yeah, but you don't understand. I was anthropology. We believed in heaven. That was your witness. It did not. It will condemn him. Folks, understand that when you give somebody the word, it will either give them grace and save them, or it will be what will judge them in the end. Because they will say, I never heard. And God will say, I've got a witness here. So God promises to bless his word. The gospel tract is, according to our text here in Romans 1:16, the power of God. Not the tract, the scripture. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 23, verse 29, he says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? He says, my word, if you hand out a gospel tract and that person receives it, first off, if you can get the word of God in their hand, and if they read it, God has got it into their heart now. His word is like fire. It's like a hammer. The fire can melt the hardest heart, and it can break a stone-cold heart as well. Tract distribution is a practical way of distributing the seed. The Bible is known as the seed, which is the word of God. The Bible gives the parable of the sower who had a bag on his hip, and he would take the seed and he would broadcast it. He didn't go around planting individually. He broadcasted it. He sowed seed everywhere. We know that there was the different soils which represented different hearts of men. But notice that every heart had an opportunity. And so it's not like you are going to just be real picky and hand out one every once in a while. The goal is to hand them out as often as you can. Use them everywhere. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. It's interesting, as I was looking at that verse, you have tears and you have joy. Tears isn't weeping for yourself. You're weeping for those that are without Christ. You're having compassion. And thou, based upon your compassion, you're going out and sowing the seed, which will bring joy. Even in heaven, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. So it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So you have tears which precede joy. You have weeping that precedes rejoicing. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So you have tear, you have joy. You have weeping, you have rejoicing. You have seed, sowing this precious seed, bringing back bundles of fruit, sheaves from it. Folks, it seems like it's a fair exchange. God has never, ever, ever given anybody his word in vain. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Every time you leave one of these somewhere, God is speaking to someone. It's not just a piece of paper that looks different colors and has scripture on it. It is his word which came out of his mouth, and he says, my word will not return unto me like it didn't do anything. It was non-effective. It's always effective, and it will do what I please for it to do, and it will prosper in the person that got it. Sometimes we don't even know who's going to be the person that gets it. I'm thinking that the waiter's going to get it. It may be the busboy that got it. I don't know. God does. He knows what they're going through. He knows where they're at. He knows his purpose, why he wanted them at that time to get that. You give it, but God sent it. It reminds me of Joseph. You meant it for evil, God meant it for good. You mean to go out and give this to somebody. I'm going to give this tract to you, to this person. I'm going to leave this tract here for whoever gets it. You're the one that's leaving it. God's the one that's sending it. He sent you to go leave it because he wants whoever's going to find it to prosper, and it'll please him in whatever he sent it to do. All labor, whether it's personal testimony, supporting missions to share the good news, you going and telling someone, or you leaving a gospel tract, whatever measure or whatever tool in which it is done, all labor will bear fruit if we faint not. Galatians says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, just at the right time, just at the right time. We're reminded in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, though we have this piece of paper that's got print on it, he says that if it's got God's word on it, it's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes right past the facade and goes into the heart of a man and brings conviction. Conviction to repent and be convinced of his need of a Savior, or they will be convicted and they will resist the Holy Ghost. Or they'll hear it and see it and they'll check with somebody else to hear more about this thing. So why use gospel tracts? God promises to bless his word, folks. Secondly, tracts have a tremendous advantage. All of these things here, all of those that are in the racks out there, down the hallway, going out the last door, they all have an advantage. You know what the advantage of these things are? The person that hands them out does not need to have an education. Duh. Come on now. I'm kind of being silly here, but this is for Bible college people. Show me that in Scripture. You don't have to have a... Do you think you have to have a master's degree to hand one of these things out? Do you think you have to go through 6 years of college and get a doctorate degree so that you can hand one of these out? You don't even have to have a bachelor's degree. You don't even have to have an associate's degree. You don't even have to have a Bible certificate. You can just grab them off the wall and hand them out. No education needed. Some of you are working on the Fishers of Men. Some of you are getting your stuff in. They're doing great on their tests. They have shared their verses with me. They're doing well. Let me encourage you, if you haven't done it, keep on it, work on it. You can work through these pretty fast if you're wanting to. Prioritize it. It'll help you with those verses. So you don't need an education. It's not required. Another advantage is that tracts can go wherever you go. Sometimes they can go where you cannot go. Tracts, I've never picked up a tract and got ready to leave it with somebody or lay it somewhere, and the tract said, I'm too scared. Come on with me now. Tracts have no fear. Y'all get scared to go talk to somebody about Jesus? Tracts don't. Come on, let your imagination roll here, all right? Is that a true statement, though? This thing is not fearful. No matter if you walk up into a bunch of bikers and you're scared to death and you go, hey, can you take one of these? And they say, yeah, I'll take one. This thing is like, yay. It doesn't move this thing. It's not fearful. You don't have to be educated. This tract will faithfully proclaim the good news until it is extinct. What a lesson for us. It will continually. Somebody could take this thing and walk over here and say, eh, I don't believe that stuff, and toss it down. Walk away. That was their witness against them. Somebody else is strolling along. Oh, what's this? Heaven, do you know for sure? No, I don't. They may have been the one that God uses just to pass it on by tossing it away. Folks, understand the power that's here. These are advantages. Tracts never never get discouraged. I don't know. I just don't feel like it anymore. Doesn't seem like anybody's reading me. They're ready and able at any time. Always ready. Never discouraged. Tracts never get angry. They don't even get angry if the person tears them in half, crumples them up. They know what they're... Wait a minute, Kevin, you're going too far with that. They know what their purpose is what I was going to say. That's going too far, isn't it? But the words in here are alive. The track is not alive, but the words here, God's word is living, right? Quick and powerful. It's lively. So, yeah, maybe they do know what their purpose is. God says he sent it out as a purpose. Tracts are very economical. Folks, if I can go out and buy 100 of these and pay 6 cents, 13 cents, I don't know, they vary in price, and a person reads it, gets saved for 13 cent investment and have eternal life. That is incredible. Nowhere in the world that I know of, unless there are other places that I've not been in the world that have Dollar Generals or Dollar Trees. And you can walk down the aisle of the Dollar Tree and walk over, and they got paperback Bibles for a buck. Where can you purchase the words of life from your Creator who wants to be your Savior and have everlasting life if you read it and believe it for a dollar? Wow. Gospel tracts, another advantage, is they always get to their topic. They never get sidetracked. You go talk with somebody. I was talking with some JWs the other day, a couple months ago. They tried to get me sidetracked with the Trinity. I stayed on and given them my personal testimony. You know why? Because they don't have one. And when they see that you're excited at what Jesus has done for you, and they're not excited because Jesus hasn't done anything for them. Well, what do you guys believe in the Holy Trinity? How can you believe that? I believe in it, yes, but I'm not here. I'm staying on track. Years ago in the youth department, we were trying to get our youth to hand out gospel tracts years ago in Wichita. And I remember making a bulletin board, and I had all these little gospel tracts, and I stuck them all over the bulletin board, and then I cut out some silhouette. I still have that thing somewhere around here from years ago. And I cut out silhouette of feet walking all over the bulletin board, and it just said, Christians leave tracks wherever they go. These kind here, all right? And pretty clever. Thank you, Kevin. I think I'll celebrate that right now. Man, I'll be glad when I finally taste that living water in heaven, amen? So here we have this setting here on why use gospel tracts. And we have seen that God promises to bless his word. They also have a tremendous advantages that we have seen there. All right. Now, let me just quickly go on to another one here on how to use these things. And I've kind of touched some of that stuff there. And I've shared this before, so I'll be very brief. When I first got saved, everything about church, Christianity, everything was completely new to me. I had no idea of what a gospel tract was. I didn't know what a missionary was. I didn't know what an evangelist was. I didn't know anything. And the first missionary that I heard was a guy, and I've shared this before here. He was going to England, to the UK. I related a lot to him because he was a heavy rock music guy, long hair, drugs, all that kind of stuff, and that's what he got saved with. So immediately I related. I had just been saved. I knew where he had come from. And he had gotten saved before I had. And so he's at this rock concert. It's loud. It's crazy. There's smoke everywhere. You could cut it with a knife. It was dark. And he says he looked up as he was smoking dope, and he saw these guys, because most people are sitting down. These guys are out there in different places walking around in suits and ties. And you don't wear suits and ties when you go to a rock concert. And he says, I just blew it off. He goes, and I'm sitting there. Next thing I know, I look down, and I'm looking down, sitting Indian style. There's somebody with really shiny shoes on. He goes, and I followed up. He goes, a pair of slacks, and it was a guy with a suit on. I'd forgotten all about him. He goes, and he's looking down at me, and he's just doing this to all of us. He's handing all of us something. He goes, I didn't know what it was. I took it, said thanks. I put it in my pocket. He goes, the concert came to an end. I went home. He goes, I was so high, I could not sleep. I kick off my shoes, sit on the couch, put my feet up on the table in front of me, reach in here to grab my pack of Marlboros and smoke a cigarette. And when I did, I pulled out that pack of Marlboros, and there was that gospel track. He goes, now, I didn't know it was a gospel track. So he goes, I opened up the cigarette, lit that thing up, started smoking that thing. He goes, and I started reading that thing while I was high. And he goes, and all of a sudden, I pulled my cigarette out, and I realized I needed this. He goes, I closed that thing up. I got down on my knees, and I called upon God to save me through his son Christ that very night. He goes, it did not have a church print on it. I had no idea where it came from. He goes, the next day was Saturday. I went out, and I knew there were some churches around our area, and I knocked, and I found a couple of them that had the pastor was there. I said, hey, do you guys, can you help me? He goes, sure. He goes, do you guys believe what this thing says? And they said, no, we don't believe that. And so he goes, I left. He goes, I kept doing it. He goes, I hit about three different churches. They all said they didn't believe what this thing said. I knocked on another one, and he goes, it was a little tiny Baptist church. And they said, yeah, we believe exactly that. He goes, I went back Sunday. I got baptized there. They began to disciple me, raised me up in the church. I became a deacon, and then God called me and my wife to missions. And he goes, we're here tonight asking your church to support us, to go start churches, to win other people to Christ in England. And he goes, the person who gave that tract probably has no idea if anything ever came from it. He goes, one day we'll be standing in eternity. By God's grace, we will have been able to lead people to Christ and see them baptized and start New Testament churches. And one day that guy is going to be there, and Jesus is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over many things. I'll make you a ruler over many. And the guy's going to say, but I didn't win anybody to Christ. Did you hand out gospel tracts? I did, but I don't know whatever came of it. And he's going to point over to me. He goes, you remember that such and such a year on that such and such a date, and you were at that concert handing those things out? Yep. That guy went home and got saved. He was called by me to go to the UK. He has started this church and this church and this church. These people are all born-again believers because of him, because of you, handing out a gospel tract to somebody, never saying a word, just holding it out for them to take. Folks, I think there's going to be thousands of stories like that in heaven. Hand out gospel tracts. Now, how do we go about to do that? You can use these in a variety of ways. You can use these in conversations. You have to have them on you. Gentlemen, God gave you a track rack when he gave you shirts with pockets. Ladies, you always carry your purses around. Keep some in there. If you're in a conversation with somebody and you're talking about it, and hey, I don't have a whole lot of time here with you, but if you get a chance, would you read this? I do this whenever I go through a fast food, sorry. Whenever I go through a fast food thing, I have these right in my truck thing. I can pull one out. And when I get to hand out two of them if you're on the ball, because they're going to make you pay for one and they're going to make you pick up at the other one. And all you got to do, this work usually works 99% of the time. As they pay you, you thank them for it. Hey, by the way, did you get one of these? You should always ask them, did you get one of these? Because people think they're missing out on something. Did you get one of these? And they said, no. I said, it tells you how you can know heaven for sure. When you're not busy, read it. Thank you. Thank you. Go up to it. I don't want to say what they're handing me. Large on sweet tea and quarter pounder with cheese. Large fries. Yeah, that's correct. Hey, yes. Did you get one of these? No. You'd be surprised how many people are glad to get one. Folks, I don't know what they do with them. That's not my job. My job is to sow the seed. It's going to fall on ground that God's going to is either going to take it or not. So use it in conversations. Have you read one of these? Can I give you one of these? Use tracts to end the conversation. Hey, but before we go, let me give you one of these. So use it to start one. Use it to end one. I don't know how many people, we're living in a changing world, but you used to have to pay your bills by snail mail. A lot of people do it online. Anybody still do snail mail bills? There's a few of you? Yeah. You should have somewhere you pay your bills at and stick one in each one of those, close it up, seal it up and send it. I would be neat to watch. And you send in your telephone bill or your electric bill, and they open that thing up. What? It's going to be amazing why God has it going to that person that's going to open up that envelope to get out your money. It's just, to me, it just gets into things that what is God wanting to really do here? That he's letting me be a part by taking it, putting it in there. Well, what if they raise my rates? They ain't going to do that, all right? They're raising them without you doing anything. Now, let me just say one thing against gospel tracts. Can I do that? Don't let them do your work when you can personally talk to somebody. When you can personally give them your testimony and lead them through Scripture, whether they make a profession or not, then you can leave it for a follow-up with them, but don't ever let it take complete over. But you're better off at least doing this. Make this a habit. And I should have to be, I'm going to just say this, I should have to be adding tracts to our track rack continually. Because everybody is taking them and putting them on their dresser, right? That's what they're for, right? No, you're taking them and putting some here in your car, putting some here by on the table by your front door in case somebody comes by knocking, you know? Let me give you some real quick suggestions. When you hand out a gospel tract, always read it yourself first. Doesn't matter which one it is, unless you can't read in Spanish. But always read it. You should be familiar with what you're giving out. You follow me on that? Always read it first. Always carry them with you, in your car, on your person. I don't know. I probably have, but there's been times, usually if I go out to eat, there's always a gospel tract that's left somewhere. And there's a variety of places that you can leave gospel literature. Leave them when you eat out with your tip. When you're paying your bills, we talked a little bit about that. If you take time still and you send cards to people or write a letter to somebody, if it's not an email, if you're sending a birthday card, or everybody does it like on Facebook, happy birthday, you know. Not much meaning anymore, you know. People like to still get things. And I'm just saying, when you're shopping, leave tracks. Hey, when I go shopping, if Althea's gone, I go shopping. I go to Walmart. Whatever gospel track I have on me gets left in the cart for the next cart person. Just drop it in there. Push it up. Make it ready for the next person. You used to be able to do it with toll booth operators. Now they just have you run through off of it. See, they're trying to eliminate gospel tracts from us. It was so overwhelming. The world system says we got to figure out a way to stop this from happening. So we're getting ready to go on a trip. We'll be stopping and getting gas. I will always try to fold one of these babies up and fit it in the crease for the next person that fills up with petroleum. Maybe they'll be having a bad day, filling up their car, and they'll be sitting there. Maybe I'll read this. Who knows? I don't know. When we leave the hotel, the cleaning woman will find one of these. Folks, I don't know the soil of their heart. God does. And I'm just sowing seed. You're just sowing seed. Be creative. Use a variety of tracts. Find new ways to distribute to them. Even when you're praying, I remember a guy talked about how when he prays for missionaries, he goes, sometimes when I pray for missionaries, before when I get up in the morning, I pray for missionaries, usually three different types of areas. He goes, when I get ready to put on my shirt, I look and see, where's this made from? Taiwan? So I pray for Taiwan. True story. Whatever, he looks at his clothing, wherever it was made from, Colombia, China, whatever, he prays for that country. You ever done that before? I thought, I've never done that before. It's kind of interesting. So anyway, use them. They're useful. They've got God's word on them. If you're afraid to talk to a family member, at least still go to them. Debbie DeRay, was that you? No, who was it I was talking to? Maybe it was Debbie. Maybe it wasn't. Somebody said that they had a family member that usually doesn't listen to them. It wasn't Debbie. On those books, Paid in Full, I had given one to her. And she goes, I got family that usually, Rita, was you, wasn't it? That you had a family member that usually that's strong Catholic and doesn't. And what happened? What did you say to them? My pastor's handing these out. It was these gospel tracts here, those trifold ones. She just, her sister usually isn't, or her cousin or something, cousin isn't interested in that kind of stuff. But she said, hey, my pastor asked us to hand out, gave us all in our church, offered all of us in our church five of these and asked us just to hand them out. Would you be willing? It's like, you're helping me. And people like to help other people. And she took it and hopefully read the thing. So we'll see what happens with that. But that's what you do. You just go to them and do that. So we're about out of time here. I just wanted to get this last message in on the mission thing to really challenge you. Folks, there's nothing greater that you can do. At least do this if you're not talking to people. And get into the habit of having them on you in your glove box where you can access them, all those things to use for his kingdom, for his glory, and for your good in reaching your Peters, your friends and family for Christ. Let me close with this, if I could, just so that you know that I'm closing that up. There's a story that I was reading this week. True story, way back before any of us were around. The year was 1799. Anybody remember that day, the good old days back then? The year is 1799. The place is a place in Cabarrus County, North Carolina. There was a young man. His daddy had a big farm, and they had a stream that ran through their farm, and it was called a Reed Farm, John Reed Farm. And there was a boy that he had whose name was Conrad Reed. And Conrad loved, when he wasn't working, to go fishing in that stream. He loved to catch brook trout. And in 1799, 12-year-old Conrad Reed was fishing in what they called Little Meadow Creek that ran through their family farm. And as he was fishing, he decided to fish in a place he had never fished before. And as he was fishing, he was being fairly lucky on a couple of things. But when it was slow in catching anything, he was just looking around because he hadn't fished that area. And he saw a rock that was there in the water that was just a different color than all the other rocks. And when he got done fishing, he put his stuff away and he decided, I'm going to take this rock home. It's just so different. And he picked up this big rock, and it was heavy, and he carried it home with him. It was very, very shiny. He described it as an unusual colored rock. And the thing, when they weighed it out, weighed 17 pounds. And he brought it home, and he was unaware of what it was, and most of you could probably guess. But he brought it home unaware of the value of it, and the Reed family didn't catch what it was at the very beginning. They simply used it as a doorstop. And so they had this 17-pound, shiny, unusual-colored rock holding their door open for the next 3 years. And the father one day, as he was walking by, just was looking at it as he looked down, and he just, something moved on him. He got to looking at it and thought, I don't know if this is true, and I'm going to go take this in and have a jeweler in Fayetteville look at it. The jeweler in Fayetteville immediately recognized it as a massive rock of gold. It was a gold, 17-pound gold piece. They were not the most intelligent about what the value of things were in 1799. By the way, this happened, he took it in 1802, 3 years later. And as the jeweler recognized it, he downplayed it and told him, he goes, it's an interesting colored rock, but he goes, I can give you, well, I don't know if I should do that or not, that much or not. He goes, well, what? He goes, I can give you $3.50 for this thing. And he duped Conrad's father, John Reed, into selling it for $3.50. Well, in that time frame, in 1802, it was actually valued at $3,600. And so the guy deceived him and duped him into selling it for that. He just didn't understand the value. And by the way, the value would have been today over $517,000 today. So initially being duped, John Reed later found out that he had been duped and went back to the stream where his son was fishing. And they began to do some more digging. Long story short, they have what is called the Reed Gold Mine on their property, which is where the first American gold rush started, not in California. It was there first. That Reed farm is still there today, they said, and it is the mine there is being used as a National Historic Landmark. Now, why would I even share that? I'm sharing that because I don't want anybody here, because we do have an adversary, correct? And I don't want anybody here to be duped by him and lessen the value of what you could be doing with the gospel of Christ. This is not a cheap thing to do. This is a valuable thing, an eternal valuable thing, men's souls. So don't be duped by the enemy. And if you have not been using any of these or even witnessing and you realize, man, I have been duped, start a gold rush. Make up for what you haven't been doing and start giving these things out like we're coming to the end of the world. Folks, we got warships above Venezuela. We have warships in the Middle East. You have Iran. You have Russia, Iran wants Israel. Russia wants Ukraine. By the way, they want that property of Ukraine because it says in the prophecy that the kings of the north, which is Russia, will come straight down to Israel. And if you look straight north of Israel is Ukraine. They're trying to come in so that they can come down later. China wants Taiwan because they're the biggest distributors of chips, military chips for our planes and everything else. They're talking about Russia and China coming together with Iran to do away with America. May happen, may not happen, but we have to be about our Father's business. Night cometh when no man can work. Don't think that your family and your friends and you have a whole lot of time. I don't think we do. Don't be duped by the enemy. Cash in and make a historical impact on our personal fishing ponds, if you would. Get gospel tracts out. Don't just take them, send them, use them. Let's stand for prayer. Listen to artificial intelligence. Our Father in heaven, truly hallowed is your name, and truly you said that your kingdom will come. But you want your will to be done on earth. And your will is for us to be sharing the good news. Lost people aren't doing it. Sometimes we don't act any more different than them in sharing it. God help us. Put something, a fire burning in our hearts to sow the seed freely and abundantly. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.